Thank you, Brother John. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, God's word is very rich. When I look at Acts chapter 16, 40 verses, few stories there is in that chapter. You know, I ask God, what do you want me to speak to your people? These are your people. They have a heart for you. You have a word for them. What do you want me to speak to them from your word? Because God's words is very rich. It's like this. You look from this side, you get this anger. You look from that side, you get this anger. You know? So what is it, Lord, in Acts chapter 16? There is the key for your people to hear when we look from the whole 40 verses. Of course, Acts 16 is about Paul and Silas as they start the second mission trip. Without Barnabas, as Paul and Barnabas has a fallout and disagreement over John Mark. Later on in chapter 16, there is when Luke, the author of the book of Acts, and young Timothy join them. I entitle my sermon on Acts 16 with "Keep an Open Heart." We sang this song this morning, "Open Heart, Open Eyes, Open Ear." Keep an open heart. Let's pray. Lord, we come humbly to you and we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us to keep an open heart to you, Lord. Open heart to the things of God that matters most in our life. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at the whole 40 verses, I want to start with the story of Lydia. From verse 11 to verse 15. She was not just an ordinary woman. She was a successful businesswoman. A successful businesswoman that sell merchandise for home decoration and for clothing. Purple color, which is very expensive, purple dye, you know. And so she must be well connected with those that are famous, rich, and powerful. Yet verse 11 to verse 15 tell us that even though she is in that successful and powerful position, she has a heart of a seeker and a worshiper of God. These verses tell us that Paul went to the riverside, and when Paul shared the message, God, in verse 14, the Lord opened a heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. God opened her heart. It simply means, for all of us, faith comes from hearing. And what? Hearing the good news about Christ. Lydia heard the message of the good news of Jesus Christ preached by John. And this hearing energized and inspired faith in the heart, faith in the good news of Jesus Christ. Because she hears, therefore, God is able to open her heart. Now, if she did not hear, there will be what? No faith. in her heart? And how is God going to open her heart? Because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So Lydia heard, and this hearing caused belief and faith. And this faith turns and prompts her to obey, to give heed, to attend to the instruction given to by Paul. Hearing gives faith. God is able to what? Open the heart. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the good news, the gospel. The people heard, and their heart respond in faith by saying, what must we do to be saved? And God opened their heart to salvation. The opening of the heart is a result of what? The result of preaching the inspired word of God. That is the power of the word of God. It has the energy. It has the power to open, to inspire your heart in faith so that God is able to open your heart. Ask yourself, if there is no messenger, how is Lydia going to hear the gospel? Then faith will not inspire her heart, and God will not have opened her heart to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to verse 15 tells us, but how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? Someone say to God, let me be that someone. Someone tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being what? Sent. So what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is Sunday to gather you, to empower you. And after that, we what? We send you to what? To tell. That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who bring good news. Every one of us here are sent out with a messenger to be the messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to be called people of what? Beautiful feet. Have a look at your feet. Is your feet beautiful? A beautiful feet that bring the message wherever God placed them. And as they bring that message, as they share the message through words and through deed and through their life, they are actually planting the seed of faith in the heart of the hearer, and they are actually watering the seed of faith in the heart of the dear hearer, and in due time, God will open their heart to salvation. Say amen to that. That's how people can save. One single life like Lydia, she is the first Gentile convert in Europe, the first believer to open her house as a place of worship in Europe, and it benefited Paul and the early church. In fact, she was very quick to respond to salvation, and she was very quick to recognize that if she is saved, if she believes in Jesus Christ, her home, her business, and all that she has belongs to who? Belongs to the Lord. And she was willing to use them for the Lord. My question is, how about you? Through Lydia, her household was saved. Imagine how she influenced her friends, her relative, and those wealthy clients with her newfound faith. And how her faith influenced future generation of believers. Her name only appeared in scripture twice. But her legacy of determination, foresight, and generosity, let it be an encouragement and inspiration for us to follow. The same God that opened Lydia's heart, and God opened her heart, the same God that opened Lydia's heart also opened the Red Sea. Also opened the hearts of believers in Acts 2. Opened the heart of Paul, the persecutor on the road to Damascus. And this same God also opened your heart. You heard the gospel. Favor rises in you. And you believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. God opened your heart to salvation. Say amen to that. But my question to you today is simply this. Is your heart still open to God? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 is a verse that every one of us are familiar with. Many times we use it when we witness to someone. But Revelation 3:20 is written to the church, to believers and not non-believers. It's not about salvation. Jesus standing in the door and say, "Behold, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come in. I will share a meal together as friends." It's not about salvation. That verse is about fellowship with Jesus Christ. Just like the disciple having a meal with Jesus Christ in the upper room. Just like Jesus calling the disciple on the boat, fishing the whole night, causing them to come down to be on shore so that he can have a meal with them. Once you have opened your heart to Jesus Christ, is your heart still open to Him to grow into His likeness? Jesus stand at the door and knock. The door of your heart and He knock. He remains standing outside knocking at the door of your heart until you open the door to let Him come in. Not for salvation, but to have fellowship with Him so that you hear His heartbeat, feel His pulse, and let Him capture you and captivate your heart for only one person, Jesus Christ. More than 50 years, I have opened my heart to Jesus. I must tell you, by now, I can do church pretty well. I don't know about you. I can do church pretty well. Speak the church language with distinction. Hallelujah! Amen! Praise the Lord! I can do it with distinction. In fact, I can do religion with flying colors. You don't even know that I backslidden. You don't even know that my heart has gone cold because we can do it so well. Was this not the problem with the Pharisees and scribes when Jesus came? They do it well. Is this what Paul warned the church? Be careful, do not have the form of godliness and denying the power of God. Having all the religious act, but denying the power of God. What is the power of God? The power of God is the power of the Spirit, the power of the Word that is able to change and transform life. The question I ask myself, God, is my heart still open to obey you, to do your will? Or is my heart like a stubbornly closed, locked iron gate that keeps God out and let God in when it suits me? I can preach after so many years, but I ask God this morning, God, let it not be just words. Let it be from the heart that is touched and quickened by your Spirit. Our theme, walk in the Spirit. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to keep your heart open in these four areas of your life? These four areas is seen in the life of Paul in Acts chapter 16. Would you this morning put your hand at your heart and say this with me? Holy Spirit, open my heart and keep my heart open. The first thing that God needs to open your heart is to open your heart to this word called compromise. Many of us may say, "Boo! How can Pastor talk about compromise?" But let me tell you, there are good compromise and bad compromise. It's asking God to open your heart to good compromise. Just like Paul. In Acts chapter 15, he stood firm against circumcision of the newly converted Gentiles. And he said that salvation is solely by faith and grace and not by work. He stood firm. He fought about it. And a good compromise was achieved in Acts chapter 15 in the Jerusalem Council for the Gentiles convert. Now you come to Acts chapter 16. Paul had just recruited Timothy. Timothy's mother is a Jew, father is Greek. So he is half Jew. And Paul recruited him for the team. And the first thing that Paul did was, Timothy, you need to be circumcised. And he did not do it because of salvation. He do it simply because of what? The Jewish custom in verse 3. Because of the Jews. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to make sure there is no obstacle, there is no hindrance, there is no stumbling block for them to preach at the synagogue in their mission trip. Paul did not stick to his gun and fought on the non-essential, like some of us do. Some of us do not know good compromise is important. Whether it's in marriage, in home, in the workplace, with people, good compromise, say amen. Good compromise is important. But some of us, is my way or the highway. Paul was willing to come and consider wise and good compromise. For this is what he said concerning his life on good compromise for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to verse 21, even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too live under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law so that I could bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of what? Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's the law of what? Love. Love. So Paul, in saying that in compromise, he tried to be all things to all men. And this is something that I want to share about all things to all men. Because some people take this verse to the extreme. I've seen pastors who got themselves tattooed. Why? Because they want to reach a generation of people who are tattooed. I mean, that's not what the Bible talks about. Paul always began his preaching in where? In the synagogue. Every place he go to the synagogue first. And to have Timothy. Timothy is known by the people there that he is half Jews. To have him uncircumcised would close the door for him to go to the synagogue, close the hearer in the synagogue. So, Paul knew what is good compromise. I want to give you three markers to guide you to good compromise. Because we are not to be a people that compromise everything. Here are the three markers to help you to what is good compromise. Marker number one, God unchanged standard. Galatians chapter 5 talk about if you walk in the Spirit, you will bear what? Fruit of the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill what? The work of the flesh. So Paul is very clear about compromise, that you cannot compromise the unchanged standard of God. Say amen to that. And here he lists in these few verses from 19 to 20, he lists all these things that is the work of the flesh. And he's not writing to non-believer. He's writing to Christian, Galatian, who had given up all these things to follow Jesus Christ. And Paul said that if you give up all these things to follow Jesus Christ and you are still continuing in this thing, this is what Paul said. Those who do this thing will not inherit what? The kingdom of God. Here is where someone will say, God, but where is grace? What about the grace of God? When Paul wrote this, it was in the new covenant under the dispensation of grace and not under the old covenant. When it comes to God, unchanged standard. No compromise. I don't care what the government say, what popular opinion dictates, what is the favor of the time. This is where the Bible stands. No compromise. Say amen to that. Amen. The second marker is called society standard. Society to have a standard or an expectation of right and wrong. You realize that? But the problem is society's standard and expectation is pretty blurred at this moment and it's being eroded. So society now has this idea that must never be in us who are children of God. What is the idea of society today? Follow your heart. You heard people say, follow your heart. But they forgot that the Bible tells us The heart is what? Wicked and deceitful. It's the deceitfulness of the heart that I'm fearful of. Because you can be so deceived that what is wrong become a right. So you cannot follow the heart. You cannot follow the heart totally. When you want to follow the heart, and it is against God's unchanged standard, where do you go back to? You go back to marker number one. Understand? Now, the third marker is called community standard, custom. Paul was with the Jewish community, and the Jewish custom and circumcision was one of them. Therefore, Paul adhered to this optical so that it would not hinder them to go to the synagogue to preach Christ is the promised Messiah. All of us sitting here, you got brother from Pakistan, from India, from Singapore, Chinese, Aussie, you know, from Spain or Argentina, all that. We all got culture, help me realize that. We got custom. Not all of them is against God, unchanged standard. And the danger is sometimes when we become Christian, we throw all of them out. And our non-Christian friends say, why are you like that? This cannot, now cannot. If the custom is not contrary against God's unchanged standard, then you have to ask yourself, should I follow? Is it wise to follow? If it's against, then you what? You throw it out. So, do you understand so far? Another compromise that Paul did in his life, in this mission trip, is location and audience. Everywhere Paul goes is the synagogue. In the synagogue, who do he speak to? He speaks to Jewish men and explain to them that Christ is the promised Messiah. But it so happened that in this place, in Philippi, there is no synagogue. And so, the question is, should he have a holiday? Should he stay home? He decided that he should go to the riverside. And when he went to the riverside, what did he found there? Woman. Woman praying. He was willing to compromise location and audience and preach. And there, the first Gentile convert, a female convert in Europe. And this convert opened the new frontier for the gospel to the whole of Europe. Paul's heart was open to good compromise for the sake of the gospel, not for himself. And what does he do? When you have a good compromise, it brings harmony. It brings peace. Therefore, the church was strengthened and the church grew. Same at home. A good compromise in the marriage, a good compromise in the home, have less flying sauce. How many realize that? Are more peaceful at home. Be open. God, keep my heart open, not to any compromise, but to a good compromise. And let this marker guide me. Can you understand now? Second, poor heart was open to guiding. Put your hand at your heart and say this with me. Holy Spirit, open my heart to guiding. Paul was a practical man. He did not wait for things to happen. He planned. And how many of you know that whatever you plan, sometimes it does not work out as planned. He planned. Twice he was stopped by the Holy Spirit. For what he planned on his trip didn't work out. The Bible did not tell us whether it was due to circumstances, whether it was due to having no peace, whether it was due to timing or finance. The Bible did not tell us. Only that He planned to go here, it did not work out. He planned to go there, it did not work out. But Paul was open to the change, open for change of plan and redirection. All is not lost, because this is what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 tells us. We can make our plan. Say amen. Not to plan is foolish. To plan without any allowance for change is also foolish. We can make our plan, but the Lord determines our step and directs our step. So when the door is closed, God does not want you to quit. He wants you to keep serving until He opened the right door. Sometimes we wonder, what is God doing? Have you ever felt, I do this, it don't help. I do that, it don't help. So you want to give up? No, you should just keep on going, keep on doing, because the Lord is a sovereign Lord. And He is directing, He is ordering, He is planning your step. Didn't the Bible tell us in Psalm 37, the step of the good man is what? Ordered by God. That means God is busily preparing those steps. Sometimes He has to move obstacles. Sometimes He has to build bridge so that that door can be what? Can be opened for you. Door closed. Keep on doing. Keep on serving. Keep on believing. You must remember, a sailboat, no matter how good and how expensive is a sailboat, if it is anchored, it is not going to go anywhere. Am I right, Brother David? It ain't going to go anywhere. But if the anchor is up and the sail is up, then it can catch the wind of the Spirit. As the Bible says, a man plans, but God dictates, God directs his path. So Paul put his faith and trust in God, that God will open the door for him, and he's open to change, open to guidance. He did not shout, complain, murmur, or question. He simply said, God, I trust you. And this is what we need to follow. You know, Paul can say to God, God, you know, this place that I want to go, number one, this place that I want to go, number two, you close all the door. God, do you know that I'm obeying the Great Commission? You say, go into all the world. That's what I'm doing, God. I'm not going there for sightseeing. I'm not going there for holiday. I'm going there to do your work. How can you close the door? Paul never did that. He just keep his heart open. Remember the three T's of life. T, T, T. You know what the three T of life? T, T, T. And if you understand the three T of life, you'll be happier. The three T of life is things takes time. So during the night in verse 9 and verse 10, during that night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And this vision was a clear direction. This is where God wants him to do. So Paul decided, if God has given us this vision of a man of Macedonia, we are going to go. And so he went in Macedonia in verse 10 to preach the gospel. And this vision and this going, this change of direction is what we call today the Macedonian call. The Macedonian call. And what happened to this Macedonian call? That is when he went and Lydia got saved. That is where the girl with a demonic spirit that was able to do fortune telling was set free and was delivered. That was where Paul and Silas were thrown to prison and the jailer and the household was converted. And then that's where Paul was able to go to Athens in chapter 17 and preach. And that was where other churches was planted. Understand, to the time when Paul obeyed the Macedonian call, the gospel has only been limited to Asia. In fact, historians credit Paul obeying the Macedonian call to be the spread of Christianity in Europe and in the Western world. And where do all our missionary come from in the early days? Where did they all come from? They all come from the West. Can you see? One willing to open heart to God's guidance can bring such a tremendous change. The third thing that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Put your heart at your hand. Put your hand at your heart. Put your heart at your hand. Terrible. This is the challenge of preaching. It's not like Hollywood, you know, trying to make film. You can say, shoot, cut. Then you can shoot, cut. When you're preaching, what you say is what. Okay, when you put your hand at your heart, say, Holy Spirit, open my heart to opportunity. Here you find in verse 15 to 18 and verse 27 to 34. Few days of free advertisement, free announcement, free promotion by this demon fortune-telling slave girl, saying, these men are the servant of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Wow! This is before TV came to the scene. This is before you got YouTube or anything. You got someone walking next to you, proclaiming for you. It's a loudspeaker. Is this an obstacle or an opportunity? Think about it. To most of us, this is an obstacle, a problem. This is trouble. But to Paul, this is an opportunity. Waiting for the right moment to God to demonstrate His power. When the right moment came, Paul seized and commanded the Spirit to leave that girl. And the Bible tells us, immediately, here and now, straight away, in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ, and she was set free. But it did not make everyone happy, especially those who profited from her fortune-telling. Opportunity. This is what Paul spoke about, opportunity, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. And Paul is trying to tell us that opportunity does not always come in a nice box, wrapped up with ribbon tie, waiting for you to open. He said that in the opportunity that is given to him, it comes with adversity. A white door of opportunity is open for me, but there are many adversity. In the same way, whether you are in business or you are, you know, if you want opportunity, remember, opportunity comes with some difficulty, some adversity, some challenge, some obstacle. If you are just looking at all the negative, you will miss the opportunity. So setting the girl free did not get any appreciation letter or word of praise. it brought great opposition, and there was a great uprising against them. So both of them was greatly opposed. They were arrested, beaten, thrown into the coldest, deepest dungeon, maximum security condition, and their feet shackled with chains. Remember this. Anytime you have opportunity, anytime you are about to move forward to take new ground, there will be opposition. There will be people trying to discourage you, make things difficult and hard for you. But for you to reach your opportunity, to see your opportunity fulfilled, to reach your destiny, you must not give up. You must trust God in faith. Move forward. Because God is in control. The enemy may plan. People may give you a hard time. They may try to steal from you. But God is in control. And in God's time, He will restore what the thief has stolen. Opportunity. Because every setback is actually fair, allowing God to reposition, to redo something great for your life. We get discouraged. We get caught back by setback. But we should look at God. You are doing something. It may not be this world what I want. It may be something different. And usually, the great God, the good God, always has something better for you. You think you know what is good, but your Father knows what is best. Later on, when the door of opportunity came for Paul to witness to the jailer, he seized the opportunity, and the jailer and his family believed and were baptized at the same night. To Paul, there is no time to lose, no time to wait, no time to procrastinate, no time to pray about it. He was open to God-given opportunity, and he seized them without delay or hesitation. How about you? You know, we have been blessed by the testimony of our dear sister, Mirela. She praying and waiting and looking for opportunity to witness, to bring words of comfort and encouragement to the sick. I pray when you hear her testimony, the same God that gave her opportunity, that used her, is the same God that you and I serve. That your heart will be stirred. Your heart will be stirred. As again, you put your hand at your heart and say, God, Holy Spirit, open my heart to opportunity. Amen. The last area that you want, as you put your hand at your heart, say with me, Holy Spirit, open my heart to praise. There's a song that we sang, It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. There's a song that will move your heart. It was written by Horatio Bedford. We sang it and we are blessed. He and his family lost everything in the Chicago fire. So he planned to relocate to France. He sent his wife and his four daughters to France, first by ship. But somewhere along the journey, the ship met a mishap, and four of her daughters perished in the sea. So, he left Chicago to bring his wife home. And as they crossed the Atlantic, the captain came and told him where the passing over, the spot where the four girls died. The four daughters of him, of his died. At that spot, he took a pen and paper and wrote these words while passing over the spot where his daughter perished. Where peace like a river attend my way, when sorrow like sea below roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It took great faith for him to write those words. God took the worst prison experience of his life and turned it into a posture of praise and hope. Here, in verse 19 to verse 26, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were beaten, body aching. Cold, dark dungeon. Most people will be looking down at the dirt. But here, both of them look what? Look up to God. They look up to God and praise God. They open their heart to praise God. They praise God. They praise God. They praise God. And suddenly, an earthquake shook the prison. The door flung open. The chains that bound Paul and Silas broken. And many other prisoners were released. This is what happened when our heart is open to praise. When we become a people of praise, breakthrough take place. I challenge you to open your heart to praise, because a people of praise will experience the power of the living God. Sometimes you don't feel like praising. You just want to keep quiet. And the enemy come and whisper to you look silly to praise God. But I'm telling you, what is your need? Praise God. What is your mountain? Praise God. To those mountains, as the prophet stand and say, mountain, blessing and blessing, grace and grace, it will come down. To those mountains, as you praise God, it will also come down. What is your problem? Praise God. You need healing? Praise God. You are struggling? Praise God. You are discouraged and weary? Don't hide. Don't go back to the hole. Come out and praise God. Because this is what praise does. When you praise God, you are welcoming the presence of God. When you praise God, when you welcome His presence, you are simply saying, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom comes. Your will be done. But if you don't praise God, you just talk about your problem, complain about your problem, grumble about your problem, then I want you to know your problem becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and God becomes smaller and smaller, and you will become a grasshopper. But when you praise God, you are magnifying God. God becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, you begin to see your problem is not as big as you think, because we have a God who is bigger than anything. And when you do that, you don't become a grasshopper, you become a giant killer. Who do you want to be? A grasshopper or a giant killer? So I want to challenge you, no matter what happened to you, don't magnify your problem. Magnify God. And you will see His power over you. Because there is tremendous power in praising God. Holy Spirit, open my heart to praise. Because most of us, as we work through this, our soul, most of us grumbling and complain and why is the first word that come out of our mouth. It's time we change the way we do life. Say amen. Amen. The way we think. This morning, is your heart open to good compromise? Is your heart open to guiding? Is your heart open to opportunity? Is your heart open to praise? Day and night, let incense arise to you. No matter what your answer is, I pray that you will live with an open heart to receive more of God and allow Him to change you by the power of His Spirit as you keep an open heart to God and walk in the Spirit. Don't let your past or what has taken place in your life, don't let any life issue rob you from an open heart to God. There is no condemnation to those who are in what? Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. Don't rob yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Let's pray. Would you stand up with me this morning as you open your hand? I believe that every one of us here, no one can say, I don't need to keep an open heart. Everyone has need. As you open up your hand to God, will you pray with me and say this word? O Holy Spirit, please help me to keep an open heart to God, to the things of God, and to doing His will, to obeying Him. Help me to discern Your timing. Guide me to the place where I can be a witness for You, where I can be the salt and light, where I can be useful to Your kingdom, to bless Your children and reach the lost. Keep my heart open to You, O God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our pastor.